That's music by Manuel Ponce called Estrellita, and a performance by the Rivertown duo, who consist of the harpist Claire Happel and double bassist Philip, does he say Alejo? Uh-huh. And they're going to be performing on one of the several concerts this week, later this week, during the Illinois Summer Harp Class, Illinois being the University of Illinois, which happens every year about this time. It'll open on Thursday, continue through Saturday, at least the performances will. And there's evening performances each night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a noon performance on Friday and a 2 p.m. performance on Saturday. We'll get some of the details as we go here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances. And half of the Rivertown duo is here with us, and all of another duo consisting of two harpists who call themselves Ginger and Spice, although that in fact is neither of their names. They're both with us here to play us some stuff live. The recording you just heard came off of a live recording from a recital. Claire, where did you do that?
At the University of Arizona in Tucson.
How recently?
In February. So it was pretty recent. My duo partner, Philip, is the professor of bass there. So he did it for his faculty recital.
And how did you hook up with a bassist? Harp and bass wouldn't seem to me it's not the first duo combination I'd have thought of.
We met in grad school, and the harp and bass studio were right across from each other. So I was friends with a lot of bassists when Philip came, and soon after we met, we realized that our mothers had both gone to the same little Lutheran college, Augustana College, both in the same year, both majoring in elementary education. So we became fast friends, and there was a piece that we had wanted to play during school but didn't get time to called Duo Baroque, by the French composer Jean Francais. And a couple of years after school, we decided to do a couple of recitals with Duo Baroque being one of the pieces, but then added some other repertoire. And we had so much fun that we decided to keep playing together. So.
Is it easy to find repertoire for that combination?
Yeah, there's always different things that people play bass and piano, and we do as transcriptions, or for example, one piece that we play by this David Anderson, his wife is a harpist, and so he's written a fair amount of pieces for the duo. There's another harp and bass duo in the country where the bass player is John Dahlstrand, and he's also written some for the duo, but Philip has an interest in Latin American music, and he's found some pieces for us to play over the years from different bassists he's met in South America and Central America.
Well, we'll hear a little more coming up from that same recital you said just this past February.
Right.
Yeah. The Illinois Summer Harp Class is directed by the harp professor at the University of Illinois, Ann Young. She's with us as well. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you very much for having us, Kevin.
Remind me how long you've been doing this class.
This is now the 11th edition.
Really?
It started in 2003, so.
And when you started it, how did you imagine it, and how has it evolved in that time?
Well, you know, I wanted to offer an opportunity for all ages and all levels, and a short enough class where, you know, it didn't seem like it'd be too long, but also would be intensive enough for those who wanted to come and also get to experience the university and also just to get to meet many of their peers and friends. So the very first class, actually, I think there were 21 participants from like ages at that time, maybe 12 up to 55. So it was a really kind of a neat mix. And it's evolved over the years. And so this edition, actually, this year, we're very glad to sort of feature the harp in lots of different sort of situations with playing with other instrumentalists and also bringing in some popular culture, The Lord of the Rings on the last night, and just kind of showing the diversity and creativity of the harp. And it's really nice to have a lot of repeat participants, performers at the class. For example, Molly O'Rourke, who's part of Ginger and Spice. I'm not going to say which one, because that's up for them. But this is now, I think she told me, her 10th time being involved with the class. So that's a decade of experience. So she might be the best to tell you how it's changed.
Maybe so. Well, Molly, what about it?
Well, it's been interesting for me because it's sort of, I was growing up with the, nope, this one, sorry.
That microphone, yeah.
It's been interesting for me sort of growing up because I first started this when I was 13 and I'll be 23 next week. So I feel like I've grown up with the camp. And one major thing that evolved over time was the importance of harp ensemble. In the beginning, I think there were only 4 of us at the very first. We decided to do a harp ensemble piece on the final concert, and then as the years progressed, we would do premieres by Julia K. Jameson, and it would always be a brand new piece that we got to give the world premiere at the summer harp class. So it was really great fun, lots of music that we had never played before. And I think, what was the largest? What, 17 people at one?
It might have 17 been 17 or 20. 20. Maybe sometimes. Well, no, that can't, we couldn't possibly have 20. Yeah, you're probably right. 15, yeah. 14.
So physically, like, growing from small numbers of people to really large numbers of people playing together, which is an experience you don't often have. And for the side of me, I just sort of growing from being a young harpist and hearing people that I aspired to be. And then as I got older, you know, learning more of the pedagogical side of how to teach and how to present and perform. So it's been a really rewarding experience.
So teaching something you imagine yourself doing at some point, or are you already doing it?
Yeah, hope to. I'll be the teaching assistant next year at the university, so excited about that and hoping to do that later on in my career.
So Anne Young, the people who are performing on these recitals are all or mostly students of yours?
Mostly. It depends from year to year, but this year happens to be quite a few of them. In fact, both Anne McLaughlin and Claire, they're both actually doctoral students here working on towards their doctorate. So these will be actually degree recitals. And so actually I think you'll hear a lot of fascinating chamber music this year, which is something that we haven't had that much of in past editions. So.
Chamber music in what form besides the two we've mentioned here? I mean, do you call two harps chamber music, I guess?
They will play an ensemble, so I would assume more than one person makes a chamber piece. Anne can probably talk more about her program, but she's doing some very famous pieces by Piazzolla, you know, violin and flute. And even beyond chamber music, they will be actually playing other instruments that aren't the harp during some of the pieces, which should be something neat for the audiences to both see and hear.
Including one of the pieces I think we're going to hear later on this hour, which from an Indian influence. So Anne McLaughlin, so we're referring, I guess, to the program that is the first of the recitals, which will be on Thursday night, that's billed here as Anne McLaughlin and Friends, hence the chamber music idea.
Yes.
Is that a particular area of specialty or of interest of yours, to play harp with other people?
I'd say it's definitely an area of interest for me. It's just a whole lot of fun to play music with someone else. And especially when you play harp, which is always, or almost always, a solo instrument, when you have the opportunity to play with someone else, it's just really, really enjoyable and rewarding to bring out your musicality with someone else's.
I wonder if this comes at all because of a particular solitary occupation you have besides playing the harp. I would imagine riding a unicycle is not something you do with other people too often, or do you?
Well, actually, for me, I did a lot of unicycling with other people. When I competed, my 4 younger siblings and I all competed as a team called Legally Red. And we would unicycle for halftime shows, for basketball games, and in local parades. And we would compete at competitions and do formations similar to a marching band to music. So for me, it actually wasn't a solitary experience. But for a lot of people, unicycling is a solo sport.
But maybe having gotten used to the idea of group unicycling, you thought maybe harp has to be the same way. I'm just grasping for psychological, a little bit of a psychodynamic analysis.
I guess if you wanted to go that way, when I have a lot of theater experience, and from a theatrical standpoint, it's just more interesting often to have more people on stage because you can do placing on stage that's interesting. You can have your violinist walk in from the side, and all these sort of things that kind of add to the excitement of a performance, that when you play harp and you can't move your instrument while playing, adding someone else who can brings a whole new element to a performance.
But the question is, have you ever played the harp while on a unicycle?
No, I haven't. I need a smaller harp first.
Oh, in order to hold it. I was just thinking you just stay in place on the unicycle and have somebody else do the harp pedals or something like that. There's your challenge for next year. Well, we are talking about the Illinois Summer Harp Class happening at the University of Illinois this week. It starts on Thursday, and most of the activities are not really public because they're for the folks who signed up for master classes and presentations and so on. But there are a number of public recitals, and they're all free, right?
They are, and I think this year, I mean, mentioning both Anne's theatrical background, I might also mention Claire's dance, music, and movement, and Molly O'Rourke here in the studio is going to be performing one of her own compositions for three harps, percussions, fedoras, and lighting as well, with Molly Madden, who's principal harpist of the Heartland Festival, and Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. So I think this year is going to be a special series just showing how the harp and the harpists can be quite multidimensional and bring a lot of entertainment, theatrics, and something curious to the stage and to the audiences.
I'm stuck on something you said. You did say fedoras.
Yes, fedoras, right? I don't know if they're Italian, but they are fedoras. Maybe
hats.
They're from the costume. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to have to follow up with that. Well, since we have two harps in here, and your intention, at least part of the time today, is to play together, why don't we do that, and what would you like to play first?
I think we'll start with the Gershwin Preludes. It's originally written for solo piano by George Gershwin, and is arranged for two harps by Maurice Dron. I believe we'll play the first prelude and the second prelude.
Okay. It's harpists Anne McLaughlin and Molly O'Rourke. Together they are Ginger and Spice, and I'm going to guess in that order.
You have to guess.
That is my guess.
I guess it'll depend on the day and how the hair is doing. The humidity, right?
It's
they both have beautiful flaming red hair.
Depends. No, I'm looking at the light here, and at least one is flaming more under the light than the other.
One is smoldering, then. One flaming and one smoldering, which will match the preludes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ginger and Spice are live on Live and Local. Thank you. Those are the first two of George Gershwin's preludes, originally for piano. There's three of them, and arranged here and performed for on two harps, arranged for and performed on two harps by the duo Ginger and Spice, who are, in no particular order, Anne McLaughlin and Molly O'Rourke, since they wouldn't confess as to who's Ginger and who's Spice. Or does it vary according to who's playing the melody?
It's the question. It's the mystery. You have to come to our shows and find out.
And actually find out, or just make an educated guess as a result of coming to the show?
I think the educated guess.
This is not something that's going to be revealed today or even on Thursday. Actually, they're going to be each giving a solo, or doing some solo work during this week's Illinois Summer Harp Class at the University of Illinois on Thursday night at 7:30 in Smith Recital Hall on the U of I campus. It's Anne McLaughlin and friends, so a number of people performing, including Molly as the duo. And then Molly giving a solo recital on Friday at noon in the Memorial Room of Smith Hall. So that's on the second floor. Lovely room there that's been recently restored and really quite lovely. And Anne will show up on that one as well. But you don't have any other friends going to be playing with you on that recital?
No, that will just be me. And then we'll be playing all of the preludes on that recital.
All three of them?
Yes.
Oh, so we got this was just a teaser then. You're withholding things. The director of, well, before I say what I was just going to say, I should say this. That our program today, which is live and local on FM 90.9, is made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. Ann Young is the director of the Illinois Summer Harp Class. She's also the professor of harp at the University of Illinois. And we learned this is the 11th year, and at least how you envisioned the event happening when you first got it started. But I wonder how much of its present personality has been informed by the harpists themselves, because you've usually had people from your studio who have put together their programs, presumably in consultation with you. But now you have fedoras showing up, you have harpists playing percussion and other sort of instruments and various whimsical things. And Molly mentioned earlier that some time ago started the what appears now to be a tradition of having Julia Jameson write music for this particular occasion. So how much is that is you, and how much of that is them, and presumably influenced by you?
Well, I think not just for harp, but just in general, for making music or just learning about the world. It's good to sort of develop the individual curiosity and to learn well, land well, and live well. So, in that sense, the class can be sometimes at first challenging for some who come because, this is where it's for them to sort of start to be able to feel safe to express themselves, but also to hear and do some things that they may not have done before. And maybe they'll come back and they'll find it's for them, or they'll come back and say, no, not quite for me. I can appreciate it, but I'd like to do something else. So in that sense, the class always morphs a little bit to who's in there, because it's not about telling them what to do, but it's sort of it's a conversation in a lot of ways. So yeah, the class does change from year to year, definitely, both on depending on who the participants are and also who's featured on the concerts. And I think that's a good thing to be flexible, especially in the 21st century, as artists and musicians and just engaging, with the community and the world abroad. So
when you concertize yourself, do recitals, or do you participate in, collaborations? I mean, I know you're part of a duo with a flutist, but beyond that, when you do recitals typically, how adventurous do you get?
I guess it depends on what my audiences think. And it also depends just on the situation. I like to sort of, take stock of where the situation is. And so it's not like imposing a vision on it, but also adjusting to it, but also going beyond that, you know, to make something meaningful out of it rather than I only do one thing. So the duo, as you mentioned, the Lathia duo with Jonathan Keeble, who's the professor of flute here at the university, this summer we're actually going to quite a few festivals and premiering new works. We were just down in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which is, you know, a month-long harp festival of 4 to 5 free concerts a day, which was interesting to be there with the World Cup just about to start, you know. And the audiences are quite different there. So, you know, you have to adjust as an artist these days to that and be able to engage your audience. And then we just came from a harp festival at the Lion and Healy Fest in Chicago last week, which was, you know, a totally different venue and different programming. Some of the programming was selected by us. So in that sense, you know, I'm open to it, and it just depends, you know. I mean, then you have to decide whether you're going to make a valid interpretation for your audiences and whether it's going to be meaningful, you know.
And we heard earlier from Claire Happel, our fourth harpist who's with us. We got four harpists in here today, but two of them with harps in front of them. Claire might have played, except her duo partner, not around. He's elsewhere at the moment, and her duo partner is a double bass player. And as we heard earlier, how that came about. I thought we'd hear something else from the recital that you played in February. It seems to be heavy on the Latin American composers for this particular concert.
Philip's dad was born in Mexico, and so he spent summers there growing up. And he, you know, grew an interest through having family there and visiting. And so he was a double major in Hispanic studies and music, and has spent a lot of time down there, down in different countries, mainly in Mexico because that's where his heritage is, but has, through studying down there, worked with, for example, the Venezuelan bassist Erickson Ruiz, who plays with Berlin Phil and grew up through the El Sistema program. Through working with these bassists, he found out about different pieces that were written by Latin American composers and then wanted to program them.
I thought we'd play one by a composer I didn't happen to have heard of previously, Horacio Cabarcos.
Who's a bassist, yeah.
He is a bassist.
Yeah.
And where is he from?
He's from Buenos Aires, sorry, Argentina, and has played a lot of tango music. He learned it from his father, who played in a lot of tango ensembles, but his uncle was also the favored bassist of Piazzolla. And his brother is a player in tango ensembles. So he grew up around tango, but then he also went to the conservatory and learned classical and orchestral bass and plays with the opera there. But he composes some tangos, and these two that we play were written for bass and piano, and Philip thought they might sound nice with the harp. So I was a willing participant in transcribing them.
So I guess you participated with him in transcribing.
Yeah, I basically transcribed the piano part, and he plays the bass part as is.
Okay, so we're going to hear the one. I don't know if it looks like it's half French to me, Poema en Gris, but it might be just Spanish.
I thought of it as Spanish. Philip might be better. He's, you know, fluent, of course, but he but I'm not sure.
What does it mean?
I always thought it meant gray poem, but maybe I'm totally wrong on that. I know it's a tango. It's a melody written in the tempo of a tango.
Well, that's the most important part,
yeah.
Seems to me. Music by Horacio Cabarcos. This is the Rivertown duo with Claire Happel on harp and Philip Alejo on double bass here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
A tango by Horacio Cabarcos, an Argentinian composer, performed here by the Rivertown duo, Claire Happel harp and Philip Alejo double bass. Where'd you come up with the name Rivertown?
We're both from towns along the Mississippi. I'm from Quincy, Illinois, and he's from Davenport, Iowa. And so we just thought it would be a nice way to put our backgrounds together.
Yeah, it works. And Ann Young, your professor, mentioned that you're also a dancer. Have been. Do you ever combine those talents in some form?
Yeah, I'm always looking for ways to do it. I feel like both of them influence each other. But of course, it's hard to dance while I'm playing the harp. But I've definitely done performances where I do a dance piece and play the harp in the middle of it and then go to dancing and while other music plays. Yeah.
I would think that would be fascinating to see. And when you do that, do you have other instrumentalists with you who then accompany while you dance?
Right. The last time I did it, it was recorded music, while I danced with other people. Mm. But Molly, actually, here in the studio, she played for me one time. I started out with a harp solo and then the Benjamin Britten Suite for harp. I played the first movement and then she played the second and I made movement to it. So. Mm.
Some choreography. That sounds like it would be a lot of fun. We're going to hear once again the Ginger and Spice duo, who are Molly O'Rourke and Anne McLaughlin, and a rather longer piece that is one of those that, as Anne Young said earlier, involves the playing of other non-harp instruments by at least one or both of you. I haven't seen this piece or even heard it, so I'm very curious. It's called Raga, so that implies pretty strongly some Indian influence. How do you say the name of this composer?
It's Caroline Lazotte.
Caroline Lazotte. Where's she from?
She is located in Montreal. So she's a French-Canadian harpist and composer.
And how did she come up with the conceit for the piece Raga?
I believe it was actually commissioned by Radio Canada and performed by Jennifer Schwartz and Judy Lohman. And she does a lot of sort of explorations of alternative techniques on the harp with different medium. And so I'm going to use this mallet to scrape down my wire strings to get a different harmonic series that you wouldn't normally hear. And it's a really unusual piece. So it's becoming, there's a couple of trends. Murray Schafer has written a piece for harp and percussion with percussion being played by the harpist. So trying to explore a little bit more of, even though we are using both hands and both feet, occasionally we have time to hit something else. So why not?
Okay. It's music by Caroline Lazotte called Raga, played by Ginger and Spice, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Thank you. Raga is the name of that music by Canadian composer Caroline Lizotte, performed here by the harp duo Ginger and Spice, who are Anne McLaughlin and Molly O'Rourke, augmented with various percussion instruments and also with some curious effects that Molly hinted at one that came right at the very beginning of the piece, where she's using a mallet to go up and down. Well, mostly down, I guess, some of the strings. And then, Anne, what were you doing with the triangle? It looked like a triangle beater.
I had a triangle beater. If you play a string and then you pull a triangle beater down the string, you can actually change the pitch.
Very clearly, yeah.
Yeah, as well as hitting finger cymbals. But yeah, that was what was happening with the strings.
So they're going to be playing on that piece, if you'd like to hear it again and see it live and see some of what was going on. They'll be playing it on a Thursday night on Anne's recital with other friends, so an evening of chamber music with harp, and then another newer piece for harp duo on that recital as well. That's 7:30 Thursday night in the recital hall of Smith Memorial Hall, part of the Illinois Summer Harp class happening at the University of Illinois. In Urbana, Thursday through Saturday, which is directed by U of I harp professor Ann Young. And then the duo will play some other music. You heard some of Gershwin's preludes. They'll do all three of those preludes on Molly's recital, which will be on Friday at noon, also in Smith Hall, but in the memorial room upstairs. And then the Rivertown duo with our guest Claire Happel, along with guest double bassist Philip Alejo, will play on Friday night at 7:30 back in the recital hall of Smith. And that concert will include a new work by a Pulitzer Prize winner named Carolyn Shaw.
Right.
Is this one you commissioned or Philip commissioned?
Yeah. She's a friend of ours, and actually when we were going to school with her, she was studying violin, but she was writing a little bit then. She's also a singer, but she's been composing now more. And so, as you mentioned earlier, for harp and bass, there's not always hundreds of pieces to choose from. And so we asked her to write a piece for us and wrote a grant to have the American Harp Society fund it. So we got a grant from the American Harp Society to have Caroline write it.
So that'll have its premiere on Friday night. There's another premiere by Julia K. Jameson, herself a harpist who studied here at the university. And a new piece of hers has been showing up every year for a while. It's called Constellations, and this is for a harp ensemble of some size, I gather.
Yes, it's written so it can be for multiple harps, whether, more than two, up to, 14, 15 on different parts. And this year's piece called Constellations actually is going to include some improvisation. So hopefully, to seeing how it goes, each of the harpists who are participating are each going to have a little time to be a little star in a constellation of the piece by improvising solo, as the way Julia has intended the piece to go.
And how many harpists will be on stage for that final recital, which is Saturday night, 7:30?
10 of them, I believe, this year are going to be on stage, so
that should be fun. And that'll be in the music building, the main music building of the U of I, on the U of I campus, just across from the Krannert Center on Oregon. If you go on the Oregon side, you can also go on the Nevada Street side. And then the one performance we haven't mentioned is happening Saturday afternoon at 2:00, also in the music building auditorium, and that's called the Young Talents Recital. Who are the Young Talents, Anne?
Oh, it's an exciting group of three young performers. There's Chelsea Balmer, who's all been coming to the summer harp class for a while. Chelsea Balmer, who's been a national prize winner. She's from Georgetown, Indiana. And she's going to be playing actually a solo of Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, the opera solo. And then we also have Sydney Campin, who's going to be a freshman here at the U of I next year. She's actually a student of Julia K. Jameson, and she's playing a sonata by Pichetti and the Russian composer Glier's Impromptu. And we also have Thea Kamerling, who's a native here of Champaign, Illinois, and she's going to open the recital with two very famous solo harp pieces, one by French composers, Gabrielle Pernier and Marcel Ternier. So it should be a fun program with three young, very talented, very engaging performers.
And I think Thea just finished her junior year of high school.
Yes, she did. Yes. So she's going to be a senior next year.
Yeah, she's a good harpist. Mm-hmm. Our program today is made possible with support from the Symphony Orchestra Guild of Decatur, whose mission is to promote and support symphonic music, encourage music education, and provide an ever-increasing level of artistry and audience appreciation. Season tickets for the Millikan Decatur Symphony are available at decaturorchestra.com. Since Molly is giving a solo recital on Friday noon, thought we'd give her a chance to play one of the solo pieces that's on that. What are you going to do for us?
Sure. This is the dance from the Mother Goose Suite by Ravel, and it's arranged for solo harp by Vera Dulovo. So it's the Imperatrice de Pagode, the dance of the little...
Empress of the Pagodas,
yes,
I think.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I was like, oh, I just forgot my translation.
Yeah, that's okay. Molly O'Rourke on Live and Local. Music by Maurice Ravel from his Mother Goose Suite, Empress of the Pagodas, performed by harpist Molly O'Rourke, live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. She will play that piece and a number of others on Friday at 12 noon in the Memorial Room of Smith Memorial Hall as part of the Illinois Summer Harp Class happening at the University of Illinois Thursday through Saturday And although registration is closed for those who want to participate in the class this week, auditors are welcome. And if you'd like to get in as an auditor, you may do that by going to the School of Music website, which is music.illinois.edu, and they would hit the continuing education button.
Yes, and then on the left side of the screen will be a link for the Illinois Summer Harp class, or just to contact our outreach and public engagement office, and we'd be very glad to have more people coming.
And that is the director of the class and professor of harp at the University of Illinois, Ann Young. I want to say thanks to Ann Young, Ann McLaughlin, Molly O'Rourke, and Claire Happel of the Rivertown Duo for joining us on the program today. Somebody here at the station saw the promo for today's show and said, "What is it? This seems like there's harps in the air lately." She must have been hearing about harpists elsewhere. And in fact, we're going to have a harpist on Thursday helping to accompany a tenor, I think. So it will be interesting to hear what that's all about. That'll be on Thursday's Live and Local. On tomorrow's program, I'll welcome David Weitrolich of Dave and the Gin Mill Gypsies out of Colorado. They'll be playing in our area this weekend. And then also Davina Sowers of Davina and the Vagabonds, who will be playing in Champaign on Friday night. They'll both be joining us on tomorrow's Live and Local from 4 to 5. Thanks to you for listening. And you are listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Here's one last piece from the February recital in Arizona given by the Rivertown Duo, harpist Claire Happel and double bassist Philip Alejo. And this comes from, this is another transcription. I've heard this piece in so many different versions. I can't remember what it's originally for, but it's by Manuel de Falla. And this is a jota.